O God, take our minds and think through them, take our lips and speak through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire.
Amen.
For some reason, I have a distinct memory of one summer day riding in the back of a minivan with several friends from youth group. Many of us went to a small private evangelical high school, and one girl was set to start at the same school in the fall. Like all of us are prone to do, we just started complaining about school, the frustrating quirks of certain teachers, the strange idiosyncrasies that everyone knew about at such a small school, students we found annoying, and on and on. We spent the whole drive just complaining and telling the one person who didn't go to our school all the problems about our community. A few days later, my mom asked me what we had said that day. It turns out that the girl who was planning to go to our school had gone home and begged her mom not to send her there. She talked to my mom as well as the mom who was driving the van that day, and so my mom wanted to know what all we had said and why. The truth is, I didn't really have a good answer to that second question. Now, I'm sure it would not be difficult to get most teenagers to complain about plenty of things about school, or to get any of us to complain about many things in our lives. But here's the thing. I loved school, and I particularly loved my school. I was that special kind of nerd who absolutely adored everything about going to school. I soaked my best friend's graduation gown with my tears the day that I graduated because I was so sad to leave. But that day, riding in a van with friends, I didn't mention any of that. Through some combination of human nature and a desire not to disagree with everyone, I didn't have the courage to speak up and talk about some of the wonderful things about our community, some of the things I truly loved. I just contributed to witnessing to a story of our school that was far from the truth. I'm not sure why I remember that experience so clearly, except that perhaps it was one of the first times that I realized how much what I said mattered. Our friend ended up going to an entirely different high school. I also learned that while much of what we said was technically true, it didn't represent the whole truth. For all of us, what we say deeply matters. What we say about ourselves, about others in our community, has great power. And perhaps as much as anything, what we choose to say about people, choose to say to people about who we are, and what we choose to leave out, has an impact, often far beyond what we intend. I was reminded of this in Jesus' words in our passage today. After having a conversation and eating with his disciples, he tells them, "You are witnesses of these things." I have far more often heard the quote from Acts that comes just before the ascension, "You will be my witnesses." But here, Jesus just states a fact. You are witnesses. I grew up being encouraged to witness to my faith, being taught how to do it, trying to gain the courage to walk up to someone and witness to them. But the truth is that it's much simpler than that, isn't it? We simply are witnesses wherever we are. What we say and how we live witnesses to something. What we spend our time on witnesses to what's important to us. What we say witnesses to what we truly think and believe. The way we treat people witnesses to what we truly think of them, what we truly believe about how God created them. We are constantly witnesses. And whether or not we want to be, we are witnesses to the work of God and the resurrection of Christ. If we say that we are Christians, then our lives automatically become witnesses to God, telling people something about who God is and what God is doing in our world. And when we are part of the church, the way we live together and the way we talk about each other and our community tells others about the body of Christ. Years ago, when I spent time in the community of Tizay in France, the brothers often talked about carrying the resurrection of Christ with us. This was a new phrase to me. I had heard often before about carrying my cross, but I'd never heard about carrying the resurrection. But this is what Jesus charges his disciples with in this passage and in others. They have seen the resurrected Jesus, and it changes them. They are not to keep quiet about it. It's something that they will carry in their very being forever, and it will create a community of a new kind. When our passage begins, the disciples are gathered together. It's only 3 days after Jesus died, and so we can only imagine what they are feeling at that time. But that morning, Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary had all found his tomb empty. And then they saw angels who told them that Jesus was risen. Then while they are gathered, the disciples who met Jesus on the road to Emmaus run in and tell their story. And that's where our passage starts. They're gathered and they're hearing these stories that are nearly impossible to believe. Jesus is risen from the dead? How do you make sense of something you've never heard of before? And then suddenly Jesus appears among them. Suddenly he's there with his scarred hands and feet, fully alive in front of them. And we get this great line: while in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering. The mixture of emotions and thoughts would have been incredible. And we get a glimpse of this in our story. I often think that if I could see the risen Jesus, that any doubts that I had would go away. But it's never what we see in our resurrection stories. Even standing and talking to the risen Jesus, the disciples always have disbelief and wonder mixed in with their joy. But that doesn't stop Jesus from telling them, "You are my witnesses." Jesus isn't looking for some perfect people who have it all together, who completely understand what has gone on and what he is doing. Jesus takes the disciples as they are, where they are, and he tells them, "You are my witnesses." They're not witnesses to some whitewashed, perfectly put together story. They're witnesses to a messy, complicated, beautiful, impossible to believe reality, which is always the truth of how God is working in our world. It is these disciples in this complicated, beautiful story that go on to form the church and are witnesses to the resurrection. The reality that Jesus conquered death changed them and their community, and that's what they were witnesses to. They became a community where anyone was welcome, where people of vastly different backgrounds and ethnicities and social classes joined as one community, something that was unheard of in their day. They became known as a community that took in orphans and widows, those who were cast out by society then. They did this because they believed the resurrection, the new life of Jesus, had brought something new into our world, a new way of being in which God was reconciling us to each other and putting our broken world back together again. They believed this because they knew Jesus was alive and among them, and they were witnesses to it. We don't have to read too far into Acts to know that this doesn't mean the community was perfect. They had problems and struggles and quirks and difficulties. But within those problems and struggles and quirks and difficulties, God was working. Jesus was alive and risen and calling them forward to be part of healing the world. And thank God for that, because it's what offers us hope. Even seeing Jesus in the midst of them did not make the disciples inhuman. It did not make them suddenly perfect or invulnerable to doubts and normal struggles. They did not cease to be like us, and so we have no reason that we cannot be like them. God is among us. Jesus is risen and in our midst, just as he was with those first disciples. And we are witnesses. Whether we intend to be or not, we are witnesses to something. What will it be? We can be witnesses to the brokenness that we see around us, to the struggles that are part of our lives, to the problems we have as a community. We can spend time talking just about them and telling others about them. But they are not untrue. But they're not the whole truth. They're not the whole reality. And perhaps more than anything, they're not a new story. That's a story the world can find anywhere. We also can be witnesses to the resurrection. We can tell of the new life that has come to us when we were ready to give up, of the people who were light in our darkness when we couldn't imagine ever seeing a way forward again. We can tell of the struggles our community has been through and how we've made it together. And we can tell new stories about how in our struggles, we came together and allowed God to work in us and to reconcile us to each other. We can tell of who we are as a community with people who are vastly different from us and how that has helped us see God in a new way. We can tell of our problems and struggles and quirks and difficulties, and we can tell how God is working in them, in us, and calling us forward to a new and beautiful life together. We can tell how we are part of what God is doing in our world, and we are carrying the resurrection of Christ with us every day. Because that is a story the world is longing to hear. People aren't aching to hear more about how hard it is to live with people who think differently than us, but they are longing to hear that it can be done and it can be good. They are longing to hear how we can rise above all of that and see the image of God in those who aren't like us. People are longing to hear that the struggles of life aren't the whole story, that they're not the end of the story. They're longing to hear that there might be a new way, a way filled with hope and possibility, a new life that rises up from the death of what used to be. Our witness has power, the power to bring hope in the midst of despair, the power to bring light in the darkness. The story we choose to tell can change the world as we know it, offering promise of new life and inviting others to be part of it. And we are witnesses to that truth, the whole truth that new life is available and that it is here among us now. We are witnesses to the truth that God is working among us, even us. Let us go and be witnesses to that truth. Amen.